Welcome to another episode of Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Travis. Travis, how's it going?
Pretty good, Adam. Been enjoying a week of DC TV, and I gotta say, we the North, go Raps, go. Three wins away from the title.
Yes, let's do it. That's all of Canada's getting excited by this team.
Yes.
That's good. So let's hope the good times keep rolling, and they can show the Leafs how to win.
it doesn't come to an end like Gotham did.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, basketball will be back next season regardless. Gotham, on the other hand, won't.
No.
but that's what we're here to talk about tonight. Actually, we're gonna do a catch up on the last two episodes of Gotham because that's where we left off in our review. So we're going to finish out the series with the last two episodes, and then we have some news to talk about and some big monumental DC news. And so because it's such of such importance, we're going to do things in a little bit of reverse order. We're going to talk about the two episodes of Gotham first, and then we're going to do the news second. Before we do the news though, Travis, like we always do here, do you have any comic book recommendations?
I do not have any comic book recommendations this week, but I do have a fantastic animated recommendation, animated movie recommendation. Mm. I just recently, yesterday, watched Superman, Batman, Apocalypse Now, and I gotta say that was quite fantastic. If you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Raymond Holt was the voice of Darkseid, the guy who plays Raymond Holt. Yeah. He was fantastic, and I just implore people to watch that because it's really good. It shows the relationship between Superman and Batman really well, kind of like the public enemies, same as line those lines. And I thought it was great. And to anyone who says that Batman can't interact with gods and other powerful beings, I implore you to watch that because Batman literally owns Darkseid without even having to lift a finger.
Yeah.
So I implore people to watch that kind of stuff because that was a fantastic movie.
Well, I've always said that it works depending on how it's handled.
Yes, exactly.
Batman against the superpowered beings is all about like the execution of how it's done. So, yeah, that's my take on that. But in regards to that movie, that's actually based on the second arc of Jeff Loeb's Batman Superman. Run. It's called what is it called? I think it's the Supergirl from Krypton. I think that's what it's called.
I think you could be right there.
But the late, great Michael Turner did that book. Ooh. And his art was fantastic. I actually have a signed copy, of Batman, Superman, or I think it was called Superman. I can't remember which one came first. But anyway, which character's name came first. But I have number 8 of that signed by Michael Turner. I met him a couple years before he passed away in at a con, and I managed to get that cover signed, and it's one of my favorite collectibles.
What an awesome memory, man! That's
and he was such a nice guy too. He was very personable, and
most of those guys are when it comes terms of comic books. Like they just loved that the fans loved their art. They were fans of comic books when they were young too. So it just all comes full circle for them.
And so if any fans who appreciate Michael Turner's art, want to feel like donating. I'm sure he had charitable sites that he was fond of. So if you search him, you'll find that information. And if you feel so inclined, go ahead and donate to them. That would be awesome. That would be a great way to honor his memory. But for my recommendation, let me just find the exact number here. I'm going to go with, as soon as I find it here, I know it's Action Comics number 1011. It is the last of the prelude to the big Leviathan event that Brian Michael Bendis is doing. You've probably heard of it, Travis. He's doing an event story with his longtime Daredevil artist Alex Maleev, and so they're working together on that, and it's really a precursor to that, and it's just what basically there's this mysterious villain and murder, almost. Well, he's attacking. There are a series of attacks and a couple of murders. So it's like a murder mystery, like whodunit kind of thing. And so, you know, Superman and Lois are really using their reporter background to sort of, you know, traverse the superhero community to find out details of who is behind this threat. And it's just a really great story. There are moments with between Jimmy Olsen and Amanda Waller that are pretty entertaining. And it's written by, obviously, Brian Michael Bendis, who has been writing Action Comics for the last, you know, since after issue 1000, I think it is. He had a story in 1000 as well. And the artist is Steve Epting, who used to be a Marvel guy. And he had a great run on Captain America. And his, I love the way he draws Superman and Lois because it has a very classic feel, yet looks very modern as well. So I'm really looking forward to that event. And if you want to get on board with that event, I would suggest reading Action Comics 1011.
I am definitely going to have to get on board with that because I don't know if you know this, Adam, but Leviathan is going to be the big bad for season 5 of Supergirl.
Oh,
they teased that at the end of the episode.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So yeah, definitely. It's funny that they're using such a modern storyline.
I don't want to implore people to go and read that comic book because with the DCCW, you don't know how much of the comic book run they're going to use. Yeah. I love Flashpoint.
It's going to be an inspiration. The Elite,
but let's hope that they draw from it quite well.
Yeah, it'll be an inspiration anyway, so it's worth checking out. But definitely check it out. And definitely check out that event when it starts. I believe it starts June 12th, if I'm not mistaken. It's the first issue proper of the Leviathan miniseries. So keep an eye out for that. But let's get to Gotham, shall we?
Yes, let's do it. Let's cap this off.
All right. The first episode that we have to cover is episode 11, Travis. So what happened?
Legend of the Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. They did what? Is what it's titled.
Yeah.
As Bane enacts his final plan for Gotham's destruction, Gordon rallies his former enemies to save the city. Meanwhile, Nessa Ghul kidnaps Barbara's newborn daughter with ambitions to raise her as her own. Then Bruce's decision to leave Gotham points him to his destiny while devastating Selina.
Yeah, that's a fair summary. What did you think of this episode, Travis?
It was okay. I gotta say that the Nissa Al Ghul stuff completely like just almost ruined this episode for me because I was checked out from her from the beginning. I thought that was just a cheap ploy to shove her in there as Nissa Al Ghul, and we barely seen anything like from her at all. I know that they did that in The Dark Knight Rises, but we got plenty of time with her character before she turned, like she announced that she was the same, so I was hoping that she would be an Amanda Waller type or something that I could have justified, but I just think this was just shoehorned in, and it really made me not like this and the Bane performance. But like I said, the interactions between Gordon and Penguin and stuff and people like that, the interaction between characters, I still love that because of the 5 seasons. I still enjoyed that, but I gotta say this Nissa Al Ghul nonsense. It was a swing and a miss, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Nissa angle was forced. I mean, they could have played it as, you know, Bane had been sent by Ra's al Ghul. It didn't have to be the daughter, you know what I mean? But they were trying to go for that. Let's call to mind the Dark Knight. And I had my problems with Talia in the Dark Knight Rises.
But
it was, you know, aside from her death, which was terrible in that movie, or terribly acted in that scene, but it was still a lot better than what we saw here. Having said that, I liked, the one thing I did like of Bane was his, like, the way he stalked. Like, he went after Barbara and Lee and Jim's daughter. And this episode was the one where he had that confrontation where with Alfred, right? Where he, it was basically Alfred at one point, Alfred and Selina taking on Bane, and he basically picked up Alfred and rammed his back into a like a steel pole.
Yep.
And so it was Gotham's version of breaking the back, even though did he really actually break his back? Because within that episode, you see Alfred walking with a cane. Now, albeit with, it's with a cane, but he's still up and walking. Had he broke his back, I don't think he'd be walking for a little while, right?
Yeah, you're right. And this kind of could, because most of the time when we see Alfred, he's a bit older, especially in the animated and comics. Most sometimes he is using cane. And I just like that little touch, like especially.
Yeah, it was a little touch. Yeah.
Yeah, especially.
But it just to me, if his back was broken, and maybe they weren't trying to imply that, but if his back was broken, he wouldn't be walking with a cane so quickly afterwards.
Oh no! Oh no! 100%.
So that was a little bit kind of, you know, little rushed, I think. But again, when you only have 12 episodes, you know, if it's not planned properly, this is what could happen when you have 12 episodes.
Exactly.
I did like you said, you mentioned the interactions between, you know, Selina and Jim and everybody that you know, Penguin and Riddler, and, you know, him recruiting the villains that had plagued him for the last 5 years to sort of save Gotham from attack. What I liked about that was not necessarily that the villains cared about Jim at all, but the fact that in their own twisted way, they love the city of Gotham.
Yes, Adam, 100%. You just took the words out of my mouth that I was going to get to next. They feel it's a sense of community, like a sense of all for one, one for all.
Yeah.
Even though we don't like each other, we hate these other people far more. Like, we have some honor in our town, in our community, we wouldn't do some of these low life things that they're doing, like cutting off the town from resources and stuff like that. So I do agree 100%. You nailed it there.
And they're also planning their what was cool about it was that it reinforced, you know, what they've been playing with all five seasons of the city of Gotham itself being a character as much as, you know, any other human character there, you know, there is.
Oh, and, sure.
Which is something that I really felt was strongest in Scott Snyder's run on Batman during the new 52. So I like that's kind of repurposed for the show.
And that doesn't surprise me, your love of that, because of how fan you are of Batman 89. That kind of makes sense to me, because that was one of Tim Burton's goals, was Gotham was its own character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I really like that they paid that off in this particular episode. And I also thought it was cool that, you know, even though they ultimately didn't go because they decided to stay back and save the city, how Penguin and Riddler were trying to get away on a submarine.
I'm okay with that Batman 66 style thing, but when we get to the finale, well, I got a real big gripe that I'll get into.
But I'm glad you picked up on that Batman 66, especially the Batman 66 movie reference.
Yeah,
and that's what made me smile about it. And then, you know, the cool thing at the end is. You see Bruce leaving. You know, he's going to, I don't know if they called it Nanda Parbat, right? But that's where you get the sense that that's where he's going. And you know, Selina tries to, he leaves a letter for Selina. She tries to stop him, but she's too late. The plane's flying away. And just in that shot of him, you know, the plane, you know, departing, and he's looking out the window, and he sees the city, you know, falling away behind him as he ascends further. That was a great shot, because it symbolizes, like, that was the real, to me, end of Gotham as we knew it.
Cut out there, Adam. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. I said the part where he's flying away in the jet.
Yeah.
And you see the city falling away behind them.
Oh my God, what a great shot.
That, yeah, what I said before you cut out was that to me is the ending of the Gotham series as we knew it. Because to me, the series finale is more like a beginning. It's almost like a pilot.
Pilot, yeah.
In a way. So I was really pleased with how that came off.
I agree.
Like I said, it felt like the proper finale to this show. But what would you rate this episode? Unless you have anything else to say.
No, you pretty much nailed it. I would give this a 8 out of 10, and if it didn't have Nissa Al Ghul stuff, I would probably give it a 9.5.
Yeah, so that's
the Nissa stuff brought it down for me.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a solid 8 out of 10 as well. The Nissa, like you, the Nissa stuff was kind of unnecessary. You know, Bane dies just as quickly as he showed up. And so I don't necessarily know that the threat that they tried to make him out to be actually paid off to what it was. But it was still a cool, way, you know, just the way that he was stalking Barbara and Lee and the baby, and also, you know, the way he manhandled Alfred in that one scene was more like Bane. I just wish we'd gotten more of it. And maybe had the season been longer, it would have been fleshed out a little bit more. The other thing I felt was kind of like that I forgot to mention, but I'll mention here. Another reason why I can't give it more than 8 is because the way Barbara decides on the name for her child, which is Barbara Lee, is so cheesy.
Oh my God. Listen, I just glossed over that.
And forced. So yeah, that was, I couldn't reconcile that. I'm like, really? That's how you came about that? So yeah. So for all those reasons, it's still a solid episode and I give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the finale.
The Legend of the Dark Knight, The Beginning. 10 years in the future, Bruce returns to Gotham for the opening of the new Wayne Tower. When Bullock is framed for murder, Gordon begins to piece together a sinister plot targeting the city. A new figure emerges to be the hero Gotham needs.
Right. So what do you think of overall this finale? What are some of the things that...
I really enjoyed this finale, Adam. I just got to address the backlash / couch surfing critics / fair weather fans. Most of these people dropped Gotham before this 5th season, mm-hmm. and just jumped in to want to see how Batman would look. And shame on those people for trying to shame the episode and the whole show. Gotham hasn't been about the actual Batman, but the journey there. It was one episode. I don't see why they would go all out extreme for a Batman costume for one episode. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Like I said, there's only really one part I didn't enjoy of it, and that is the ending of Penguin and Riddler for us. The last time we see them, I don't particularly like that we ended up with them being super campy, hugging each other and screaming.
And when they ran away, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I could have used without that because of how much you built those characters up over the 5 years. If this was like a one episode or this was the first season and you were still beginning to tell, but from everything I've known of those two characters, they wouldn't have done that. Not from the growth they've had. I just didn't see him doing that. So that was the only thing that I didn't really enjoy.
Yeah. But
besides that, I liked it. I liked this encounter with Joker. You're not going to get fighting scenes. Just like I said, this is the last episode. You're not going to get like crazy style fighting scenes. I thought it was just great what they did. It was good. I want to see a little bit more with Jim Gordon's look. But besides that, they're just little nitpicks. I really enjoyed this episode.
Up until the part where you're saying, where they ran off. Like, I like the fact that they were scared of Batman. That aspect of it made me happy.
But, yeah, they could be scared.
Yeah, but you're saying the hugging and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then running away, like that kind of stuff is a little bit ridiculous.
But up until that point, I thought the 10-year jump and the realization of who they became and what they look like, I thought the Penguin and Riddler were spot on.
Perfect.
You know, it was like, I like how, you know, Penguin gets out on his usual technicalities, right? And you know, one of the things that he does is he pays it forward with his relationship with Riddler, and he gets him out of jail, right? And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Riddler that orchestrated the bomb threat at Wayne Enterprises, right? At the party?
Yeah.
I like that because that's a very classic kind of Riddler scheme.
That looked like it could have been plucked from any comic book, to be honest with you.
It felt very true to the character. I know it was kind of awkward in the sense that we've had somebody playing Selina Kyle for you know, 4¾ seasons, and then for one episode it's somebody else. But I thought the recast actually was pretty good. I thought the actress did a great job of channeling what Cameron Bickendova was doing up until this point as Catwoman. And it was it felt like I could believe that it was the same person, just older, if that makes any sense. And I like that you see her, you know, stealing some jewelry at the beginning, right? And how you see the shadowy figure watching, you know, like watching over, hovering over in the you know, on the rooftops and stuff. That was cool. So all that stuff with Selina, I really appreciated. The stuff with the Joker. Look, I know a lot of people took issue with how Cameron Monaghan looked as the Joker, but I'm fine with it because let's remember that he fell in a vat of chemicals. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say if somebody fell in a vat of chemicals, chances are most of their hair would be burnt off. So the fact that he's mostly bald with a few strands of hair didn't bother me because it kind of seems like a realistic look if that had happened to somebody and they somehow managed to survive. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I agree. And it's just your take on it anyway. This is their take. It's one episode. This is the last time you're going to see Joker. And for people to get so mad, I never understand that kind of thing.
And also, I don't know if you know, but that look is very much reminiscent of two comics, the recent Batman Beyond comics, and there was a miniseries, Old Lady Harley, where the Joker looked similar to that as well. So it's not like they pulled it out of the rear end. You know, they had a basis of actual fact from the comics to pull it from. I loved seeing him team up with Harley to threaten Barbara and kidnap Barbara Jr. That is so weird to have to say that. I mean, that's why had Barbara died and Jim named after Barbara after her mother, that would have made so much more sense to me. But anyway, so I love the way he and Harley, even though they couldn't say the names, worked together to accomplish that. I will say one of my negatives was that I think Barbara got away too clean and too much of, like, she was too reformed. After all the stuff she did over the course of 5 seasons, in that short span of time and skipping forward 10 years, she was on the straight and narrow, and I just don't know if I'd buy it for that character.
Does she really have to face any jail time? Like that was a question that I had too. Like,
right?
Are you just going to skate away just because Jim got knocked you off? Realistically, that's the only reason you're getting out of this.
Exactly right. And to me, I just couldn't buy it. To be honest with you, it was a hard sell for me.
I'll agree with you there, my friend, 100%.
When we do get to the, you know, when Joker kidnaps Barbara Jr. and lures Jim to the Ace Chemicals facility, and he's hanging her by a rope over the vat of chemicals, and then I kind of like that you see Batman in the shadows, like you don't actually see Batman. I think it works for what this show is and what this episode is supposed to be.
And Adam, what movie would you have gotten? What Batman movie vibe did you get from that encounter?
Well, from that specific encounter, yes, 89.
And we didn't see much footing from Batman in that. And would I have wanted to see Batman grapple over with a grappling gun and do a few sweet moves and fight Joker a bit?
Yeah. But that's not what this show is about. This is not, you know, a Batman, the HBO version of Batman where you're going to see all that. It's not. Yeah. But that scene reminded me of 89. But then there was a scene where he was like trying to piece together the mystery of the bombs, right? And they were in that warehouse or wherever they were. And Jim was chasing, you know, Jim and his partner had heard a noise, and it was Batman skulking around. And when Jim was chasing after him, and all you hear is the voice, and he's like, "I'm not your enemy." That reminded me more of Batman Begins. So there was a little bit of flavor from both, you know, both.
Oh, agree.
Outings, and I liked that touch, but it was cool. Like you see, like in Ace Chemicals, you see. He gets Joker in the hand with the batarang.
Oh yeah, that was a nice shot too. I like that.
And it goes right through his hand. That was really cool. And then you're left with Jim Gordon's perspective, telling Bullock about, you know, how he swooped down and you know, beat the Joker and what have you. So you're getting the first time they come from Gordon, right?
Yes.
And then, you know, it. In terms of the ending, I got to be honest with you. On the rooftop, lighting up, you know, Jim is lighting up the signal to show people that there's hope in Gotham, which twofold. It echoes back to the pilot where, you remember when he first encounters Bruce after Thomas and Martha's death, and he says, "There will be light." So it kind of, you know, he's delivering on his promise to Bruce, right, in that sense. So it came full circle. I like the way, Alfred and Lucius were there, because they're the ones that are going to help Bruce in his war on crime as Batman. You know, they're key figures along with Gordon and Bullock. And the way it ended with when Bullock notices Batman across the opposite rooftop, and he says, "Look over there." He goes, "What is he?" And I think Jim Gordon said he's a friend, right?
Yeah.
Which reminded me of Superman the movie, but I digress. And then it ends when you see, you know, you trail up the other side of the building, and you see Batman. One final shot of Batman on the rooftop. I think, you know, I had called that years ago. I said it's probably going to end with Jim and Batman on the rooftop. I didn't think we'd actually see a full shot of him. I thought it was going to be, you know, from the back of the cowl on the cape. But anyway, it was kind of what I called, which is kind of cool. That's a classic Batman ending, right? And so on that aspect, they delivered. I was happy with the ending. And in terms of the Batsuit, look, it's one episode. Are they really going to break the bank for a shot of him in the suit for what amounted to what? 15 seconds?
If they told me that they spent the time worrying about the story and the plot of the fifth season, rather than focusing on the Batsuit, I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah, like
it's just one episode.
And it's 15 seconds in the grand scheme of things, right? And, you know, some people have compared, but they say, well, look how good, by comparison, the Batman suit on the Batwoman looks. And to that, my response is, okay, but here's the difference. That suit is the precursor to the one that she's going to wear full time on the series. It has to look good. I mean, if that looks like shit, you have no show.
But not only that, Adam, these people, the people that you're talking about that are comparing and complaining, haven't, like, gave up watching Gotham ages ago.
Yeah.
Most of what I see on there is people that have given up watching Gotham. Those are the ones that are complaining.
It doesn't make sense. And so, all in all, I thought it was I was immensely satisfied with what we got. And at the end of the day, for me, at least we got to see what, albeit for 15 seconds, full-fledged on the screen, not blurry, in full view, Batman. I can't say the same for Superman on Smallville.
I can promise you one thing too. I did not think, watching the first season of this when it came out, that the show would have gotten to this point. I didn't think they were going to make it to this point. I didn't think they were going to make it out of season one. Because I didn't think there would be big enough demand for it. So you got to give this show props in its own right just for that. Yeah, but you are right about that. At least the actor wanted to become the title superhero and didn't just complain about it.
And that's the difference. For where Gotham was, and this is going to be the controversial part of the show for some people, for what Gotham was attempting to do and where they had gotten the character, that was the perfect ending. It showed me just enough of what I wanted. For Smallville, conversely, here's my thing. By the time we got to the finale, they basically shown me Superman without flight and without his typical Superman suit on, right? He had done everything. He fought Doomsday. He teamed with the Justice League. He met the Legion of Superheroes, for God's sakes. So he had the JSA. So he had done everything Superman could possibly do. And yet they couldn't give us more than a speck of CGI in the finale.
All we got
was the Walmart shirt rip.
That was a Walmart shirt too.
So in my opinion, for where they were in their respective shows, Gotham did it better. Gotham had a better finale.
Did what better? Oh, the finale?
Yeah.
You can't say like the show entirely, like season, the series compared to the
overall series, no, but the series finale, yes.
Yeah, okay, I'll agree with you there. I was 100% pissed off that we didn't get him in the suit. To be honest with you, Adam, I was super mad that he should have been in the suit by like season 7. They kept milking it when you're adding in the JSA and Hawkman.
At that point,
Hawkman, mother effing Hawkman, stood up in the corner where it completely comic accurate, and Superman's here wearing that stupid goddamn red jacket again.
Yeah, again. I call it the Super Fonz, you know,
the black Matrix trench coat.
Yeah, like, Neo Superman. Yeah,
like come on, that was so annoying. At least we got and this Gotham didn't. Take us for a ride saying, here's Batman learning his abilities. This is a story about Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah. And so in that respect, in terms of series finale, Gotham did it better.
I'll agree with you. Okay.
So with that in mind, what would you rate this out of 10?
I will give this an 8.75 out of 10, and it would be a 9.5 if it wasn't for that stupid penguin Riddler nonsense that I did not enjoy, detrimental to their characters when they ran away.
I'm gonna go a little bit higher than you and say I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I was teetering towards 9.
it was really solid, and I can't say that they could have done much more. The only thing that sort of takes away was that, and I get you don't want to show us, you know, Batman that early. But having Catwoman talk to him and all we're seeing is basically from behind her. So we're not, you know what I mean? The conversation was weird when they're on the rooftop because you hear him.
Yeah.
Like, so it was a little bit, I mean, really? Like, they've had this relationship for what? 4.5 years? And this is how you're going to, this is their last, quote unquote, first conversation, if you understand what I mean, as Batman and Catwoman. So yeah, it just, to me, that was a little bit of a, got on my nerves a little bit. But overall, that was really the only major complaint I had of the series finale. So it's a 9 out of 10 for me.
And it wasn't really, I gotta say, it wasn't Batcat from the first kiss to the last, but they didn't even keep the same Catwoman.
Yeah. And they didn't kiss either at the end. So
no.
I'm sure there's a certain someone that was really annoyed by that. And you know, that almost gives it a 9.5. Just for the fact that they might have annoyed him, I may change my rating in a couple of weeks. But for now, it's a 9.
If you see a petition saying change Gotham finale,
to remake the finale, yeah.
you might know.
I'll know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, 9 out of 10 for me.
Nice.
Awesome. So with Gotham now officially done. We're going to move on to the news segment. And before we get to the main topic of conversation, there is comic book news, which then feeds into some movie news. So Tom King, who was a very what's the word I'm looking for?
Controversial.
That's it. Thank you. Controversial figure among Batman fans, was supposed to have a Batman run that went from the beginning of Rebirth with Batman number 1 all the way to Batman number 105. However, we got news recently that his run would be on the title of Batman would be ending with issue 85. And you know, the reaction was split. There was a lot of people that were upset, and some people were overjoyed. I was one of the ones in the overjoyed camp. Now, look, there have been moments within his grand story that I've enjoyed, but on the whole, I have been not really enjoying the overall run, specifically the way he writes the Batman and Catwoman pairing. Now, look, I'm not, when I was excited to the fact that somebody else was coming on the book. I wasn't excited that with the prospect of Tom King getting fired. First of all, he didn't get fired because he's still under contract with DC. So I would never get excited by somebody losing their job, unless maybe it's Jake Gardner or Mike Babcock, but that's a whole another podcast for a different time. But I was never excited at the prospect of Tom King being out of work. I was just excited that I have a specific date that I know that I can start reading the Batman comic again with issue 85. And all of that reaction, you know, from the saying, oh my God, here comes Warner Brothers again, screwing with the creator's vision, and why can't they let them finish? All that reaction was overblown because 24 hours later, We got an expanded announcement saying that, yes, he's going to be replaced on Batman with issue 85, but he's going to be creating a Batman maxi-series, a 12-issue maxi-series called Batman and Catwoman that's going to finish out his story. So all this hoopla, negative hoopla, was for nothing. Go ahead. You were going
to... I was not sure if you're going to finish, but that's the point that I wanted to jump on big time. Tom King did not sign a contract with DC saying, I'm going to do 100 issues of Batman. I'm going to do 140. There was no specific amount signed. He said in an interview once that he wanted to do 100 issues. That's what he said he personally wanted. There was no guarantee. And as you said, his Batman run was a bit controversial. So I can understand that after his successful run with Mr. Miracle, like a really fantastic run, yeah. I implore people to go read that. And him with the news we got that we're going to touch on in a second, I can understand why his plate was busy. He couldn't do a monthly book, and he has a book now that he can do 12 issues to finish out his. I thought this was the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
To see people complain and get mad to WB and DC and saying, like, this is stupid. The creators never, like, DC going against creators again, like you said. That's just people that are going to complain about anything because I thought, like, he got a pretty good deal out of this when you look at it big time.
Here's the thing for me, too. Like, look, at the end of the day, his sales started, like, when he came on the book, sales were at about 130,000 copies per month, okay, per issue. Recently, they've gone down to, like, 83 or 85,000 copies. So there's a decline there. And DC knows that it's a polarizing thing. They're well within their right, if they wanted to pull him off. It's their character. They own it. And besides, they're letting him finish his story in a maxi series.
And I didn't think Tom King signed a contract being like, I'm going to write Batman until I die. No one else can.
Yeah.
Like, there's two or three other Batman books on the go right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I didn't understand. Why is everyone flipping out? Do you not think Tom King is never going to write Batman again? Yes, he is.
So, but I agree with you. It's the best of both worlds. For people like me that aren't happy with his run, with issue 85, guess what? I'll never have to read his version of Batman and Catwoman again. But if there are people that like it.
And for people that want to change your name to Batman and his Batman and Catwoman relationship, like, yay, you got 12 more issues of miniseries that you can read and love and maybe, like, quote lines over and over again, but that's your prerogative and you'll get that chance.
Exactly. It's great. It's the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And besides, I don't feel too bad. I'm actually happy for Tom King, because the other bit of news that we have is that he is going to be co-writing The New Gods with director Ava DuVernay. And I'm actually really happy about this news because, granted, I haven't read Mr. Miracle yet. I've heard nothing but good things. It's critically acclaimed, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, and fantastic. Fantastic.
Good to hear.
We should do a review whenever you get it finished. I think you'll have to.
And that's the cool thing is that, first of all, I like this decision because, at the very least, I know Tom King is passionate about Mr. Miracle and Big Barda. And he knows the material. And I'll always be in favor of Hollywood hiring somebody who knows the material to work on it, as opposed to Ava DuVernay going out and getting a screenwriter who's never heard of Mr. Miracle or The New Gods and having to explain everything from scratch to them. So I'm in favor, on that level, I'm in favor of it. And again, I'm definitely going to check out the Mr. Miracle comic that he wrote because, look, there have been times where the creators that I love, for instance, here's an example, okay? So I love Frank Miller's Batman Year One. I love The Dark Knight Returns. I love his Daredevil run, for example. But then the same Frank Miller, I can't stand Dark Knight Strikes Again. It's terrible. It's a piece of garbage.
But that's, like I said, that's your choice because you can like what you like and you can like artists and for a while, and he may change.
Yeah, and it's by the same creator, so it's not like that. And that's what I'm saying. I may read Mr. Miracle and absolutely love it and think Tom King was great at that. And here's an example. I'm reading Heroes in Crisis, right, by Tom King. Yeah. I'm really liking it so far. So I don't think, conversely to online opinion, I don't hate the guy.
No.
I just hate his take on Batman and Catwoman.
I think that you just really hate it that, I'll be honest with you, it kind of felt like he was just writing it for the shippers and not for comic book fans.
Yeah, it feels like a book that you could read on via Tumblr posts.
Yeah, basically. There you go. Yeah. There you go. I'm going to get this out here right now, and I'm just going to say it. I want Gwendolyn Christie as Big Barda. Please, please, please let that happen. I think
I'd be down with
fantastic.
That. I'd be down with that.
Oh, I think that would be amazing.
I'd be down with that. Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see how that develops. But
that's far in advance. But it's nice to see that they're getting to work, And I really hope we finally get our big screen debut of Darkseid.
It's definitely intriguing, for sure. I'm glad Tom King is working with Ava on this. I'm really excited to see what they come up with. Speaking of movies, and movies that are a little bit that we know are coming a little bit sooner. The Batman circus is over, my friend. There's no more will he or won't he star? Is Ben Affleck coming back or not? It's official. As of today, Warner Brothers and Matt Reeves have chosen the next cinematic Batman. And according to all the main trades, Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, and The Wrap, Robert Pattinson is the next Bruce Wayne Batman. What are your thoughts?
Fantastic. I'm finally glad that we're done with this nonsense. We can move on to those crazy people who are still saying that Matt Reeves is direct. I don't understand. Was Ben Affleck literally coming out and saying, I'm done playing Batman? Was that not good enough for you? I don't understand.
They need him to come to their house door to door.
Yeah, do you need him to come to your house, show that you're crazy, and I'm not Batman anymore, leave me alone? Because that's pretty much the way he feels, I think.
Maybe he'll autograph an 8x10 of him as Batman saying, I am not Batman anymore, get over it.
Yeah, it was 1.5 movies, leave me alone. Anyway, I'm really excited about this. After we podcasted a couple months ago, and you told me that you really wanted him, and I scoffed. I'm not going to lie, but that's because of my only seeing him in Twilight and Harry Potter. I don't even remember what Twilight I've seen him in. I only seen one. It was nonsense. It was stupid. So I kind of checked out on that. But I went back and watched some movies, some clips on YouTube, and I am sold, good sir. I think that you could have a Batman here that can be Batman for 5 to 10 years now if you do this right. And I hope that's what we get to see.
First of all, I'll tell you the obvious reasons why I like him. Because if you look at him, just aesthetically, he's 6'1", right? He's got, you know, the chin. He's got the bat chin, for sure. But more than that, just he's got a good look for Bruce Wayne and Batman. Like, especially a relatively younger looking Bruce Wayne and Batman. So it works. I think, and also he's done other movies beyond Twilight. So I don't think a lot of the people that are whining and complaining have even gone as far as you have and looked on YouTube and looked at some clips of other movies of his. Because if you do, you'll see that his talent is there. And all you have to do is go look at some of the reviews for those other movies and see the accolades he gets. And as somebody who's unfortunately had to sit through each one of those god-awful Twilight movies, let me tell you, of all the problems that were present in those movies, and there were a crap ton of them, Robert Pattinson wasn't one of them.
Well, Adam, I have read that he was a problem on set only for one reason, and one reason only. He wanted his character to be like it was in the books. He wasn't happy with the way they were changing his character soapy, more like love relationship. That's all he focused on. Yeah. And I read that he was like, he said it was hard enough to get into the mindset of this role, but when you're in it, you don't want to just like do anything they say, just willy-nilly. Yeah. And I like that because like, the dude's got spine, and he's a darling of the indie movie scene the last 10 years.
Yeah,
he's big, so I couldn't be more excited. And if there wasn't any controversy there, I don't think it would be right anyway, because pretty much every casting gets criticized.
Every Batman casting has to have a controversy.
And for the people that say, anyone that says, I'm not going to watch this because Ben Affleck, you're not a Batman fan, don't talk to me, please, because that was my favorite cinematic Batman to date. I absolutely loved it. I'm going to be first one in line to see this when the first trailer drops. I'm going to be watching it. I'm not going to say anything like this, not my Batman, because like I've been saying on this podcast since we started, that was just one interpretation of the character. We can handle more. There's another one coming. I'm very excited for it.
And some of the reports have said that it is, in fact, a trilogy that he's working on with Matt Reeves.
That makes sense.
So that's really good news. And again, he's the right age range, the right height. He's got the acting talent. So it's all there. And again, just let me reiterate what you said. For the morons who are out there saying that Matt Reeves was fired on Memorial Day and that Ben Affleck is not only going to come back and direct, but also star. Okay, here's the thing. I'm not a big Hollywood mogul. I'm not there every day, but it's common sense, right? Dictates that a studio does not let a director handpick their own Batman after the fact that they're fired.
It don't make any sense anyway. That whole thing is so stupid.
It makes zero sense. And I'll call them out on the show. Louis Centeno, where in the hell you are, and Zod Writer, or whatever his Twitter handle is, both of you need to A, go outside, look at the sunlight, B, get off the hallucinogens you're on, and C, find a man or a woman, whichever floats your boat, and get laid, because you need to do something else than make up BS online. Like, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Things didn't go down the way you wanted it to. And, that, you know, unfortunately, hey, we're Leaf fans. We know what that's like. But sometimes them the breaks, as they say. So just please, do yourself a favor. Do the fan community a favor. Get off the internet.
Just talk to somebody, please. Go talk to somebody and tell them how you're feeling. It's like a professional.
Talk to a psychiatrist. They will tell you. Not named Harley Quinn, a real psychiatrist.
They will tell you, like, sir, those are minor problems to have in the world. Like, why are you worrying about this stuff you can't control? The actor who was playing that character, the one that you wanted to play that, he kind of came out 5 months ago, so he wasn't doing this anymore. Big whole thing about this. Everyone was like, rah, 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 okay, let's go on, get our thing. They finally put that in motion, they casted it. And like I said, I love BVS, my favorite comic book movie. I'm ready to go on to other things. Same thing as Scott and Tim from Suicide Squad Cast. Yeah. They love the character, they love that vision, but I never once heard them say anything.
But they also love the character beyond that version.
Yes.
Which you see, and that's the difference. You guys are sane individuals, sane fans. Unfortunately, the loud minority are the insane people who come up with this, you know, they go on Twitter and we're going to put on our twin foil hat. And they're still, the best part is, so now we've gotten confirmation, Robert Pattinson. So the Ben Affleck's coming back to play Batman is out the window. So, but they're still hanging on hope that Matt Reeves has been fired. And you know what their ammunition is? You know what their reasoning is?
What?
He hasn't tweeted since March.
Oh, my God. Back and look at his timeline. He doesn't tweet. He barely tweets. He only started tweeting a little tiny bit when he got this gig, probably because they forced him to tweet a little bit. He barely tweeted before he had this gig.
But you know why he's not tweeting? He's busy preparing to film a multi-million-dollar movie. That's why not tweeting.
Other people use the platform, the social media platform, differently. David Sandberg might get on and comment and make jokes all the time, but there's other ones that doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just the way that people are delusional, and it's really sad to see, because it just should be a fantastic, fun time. Yeah. And another thing, this whole nonsense / like fake stuff. We don't know anything about this Batman yet, and I'm already reading stuff saying he's going to be in his own world. He's not going to be interacting with other superheroes. This is going to be a bat world. I don't know where this information is coming from, because there hasn't even been official.
Why don't we all do this? Whether it is or it isn't, that's out of our control.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Let's Matt Reeves make his trilogy. But also, people can take his Batman and use him for other things if he's successful.
But all we should be worrying about right now and hoping is for
Batman
is a good movie.
Yes.
We can worry about all that other stuff later.
Hire, please, WB, hire the Matt Reeves, hire the stuntman, hire the people that everything about the fight scenes for the warehouse. Hire those same people, please. Like, hire. You can tone it down where he doesn't kill people if you want. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But the way that that Batman fought is the way that I want my Batman to fight.
Well, look, I have no doubt that.
Yeah, it's like, I can't go back and watch. I went back and watched the Dark Knight and the Dark Knight Rises.
I don't think we'll see fight styles like that again. I think
that is just. That's poopy.
All you have to do for just to look at the scale that Matt Reeves goes for is look at the fighting and the fight sequences and the action in his two Planet of the Apes movies.
Yes. So like, get Richard Cerntone or whatever his name is.
Richard Cerntone, yeah.
Yeah. Put the mask on because that dude got skills. That dude's been in a ton of Marvel and DC movies.
Here's an example, right? So for Birds of Prey, they got the stunt coordinator from John Wick. Even if they got that guy, you know you're going to get
good fights. Oh, yeah, I'm okay with that. But so, I need solid. Like, you can't drop down too far of a level from the action we've seen Batman and BBS.
Yeah, and that's the last thing I'm worried about because I know they'll hire somebody. I know they'll hire somebody good.
That's the thing. That's just money, which I know they're going to do. But I still just, I know it's going to be noir driven, but I still, when he fights people, I want to see him use speed and agility and not fight like a UFC fighter.
Which is why I hope that, like, I'm okay if Robert Pattinson doesn't get, like, humongously big.
Oh, yeah, because, that's fine.
Because if he's got to be agile, and you know what I mean? Like I looked at, for examples of that, I looked at the Batman of the 70s comics, where he was ripped and toned, but he was a beefier version of Bruce Lee, kind of. So he could move quick, and so that's the kind of thing, and I think Robert Pattinson has the body frame more for that, and so I'm fine with that. I think first and foremost,
it might put in a better mood too. Adam, I just want to put that in there. If he doesn't have to weight train and put on 40 or 60 pounds of muscle, listening to Ben Affleck in those pressers leading up to BBS, the dude friggin' hated training.
Mind you though, he was 47 years old.
Yeah, that's true too.
Pattinson's 33. There's a big difference there. But to me, my main concern was, did they get a good actor? The answer I think is yes. Did they get somebody that physically resembles Bruce Wayne? The answer again to me is yes. And so now, just to end off, what we're hearing is we're hearing that of the villains, it seems like Penguin and Catwoman might be a lock, from what I'm hearing. And if you remember, speaking of Matt Reeves and tweeting, when he did tweet, remember when he was at the Batman 66 exhibit and he tweeted out a picture of the mannequin for the Penguin? Yeah. For Catwoman, for the Riddler, and was that it?
I think there was another one too, but I'm not sure who.
Riddler, Penguin. Oh no, there were two Catwomans. That's why. What I'm thinking it was for. So there was it was Catwoman, the Riddler, and Penguin. I'm willing to bet that all those three are going to be in this movie.
I think you're right, sir. And one thing I hope we get, this is a trilogy. I want, personally, in the first movie, some little Easter eggs, left hints that you might not pick up on first viewing. I want a Court of Owls to be in the background of the first two movies and to come out the trilogy. I hope there's something like that. Even if it's Ra's al Ghul, but I want there to be somebody in the back pulling the strings for two of the three movies and Batman finding out along the way. That's what's going on. I think
Riddler could also fill that role, right?
Like, oh, exactly.
Maybe Riddler is the guy behind the scenes, right? And remember, Reeves has said two things. He's mentioned two things consistently. Rogues gallery villains, film noir. Those are the two things. And on Twitter, the rare occasions that he posts, he's mentioned The Long Halloween a lot. So let's not discount that that could be an inspiration for the Batman as well. So a lot of exciting things, you know, in play here. The main thing is we have our Batman and Bruce Wayne and Robert Pattinson. And believe me, the dominoes are going to start to fall here. We're gonna hear a lot more casting announcements in the months to come. We'll probably hear, if I had to guess, we're at the end of May. By the time you're hearing this podcast, we're in June. My guess is we'll probably hear about another casting by Comic-Con, is my guess. And but pre-production is going to start in the summer, and then we're probably going to start full stop filming at either the tail end of 2019 or the very beginning of 2020. So we're going to start hearing things very, very soon. But take solace and take and be happy that the circus is over and we have our Batman. His name is Robert Pattinson. We're in good hands there. And we're in good hands with the actual director of this film, Matt Reeves.
And in two months, you will hear Robert Pattinson and Matt Reeves speak about the Batman movie at San Diego Comic-Con. You can book it now. This is a Travis guarantee.
All right, that's your prediction? All right, we'll see what happens as we go along here. But that's going to bring the episode to a close. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed recording this. We actually wanted to record it a bit sooner, but we waited in the hopes that we could get the Batman casting be official, and our patience paid off, because we got to the day that we're recording this is the day that they officially put the rubber stamp on it. So
we wanted to pair this with the Gotham episode, because that would just slide right in. So
kind of makes a little sense. Yeah.
Apologies for the Gotham episode taking a little while, but I'm kind of glad, because we avoided all that stupid noise that came from the Gotham finale. So I'm glad. I hope people enjoy this review, because I enjoyed the finale, that's for sure.
So Travis, if the listeners want to talk to you more about Gotham or Robert Pattinson as Batman, where can they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Travis_156. You can drop me a line and we can chat DC anytime.
And if you want to talk to me, you can find me on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi. Or you can request membership to the Facebook group, Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast, and either Travis, myself, or Ryan will add you there. Until next time, we hope you have a wonderful week or weekend, depending on when you're listening to this particular podcast. But until then, so long, everybody.
Matt Reeves is director. Later, guys.